What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Finta Fútbol podcast, episode 4 now. Here on a Monday. Excited to for this episode. We have our first ever guest on here, Sam Strong. What's up, bro? How are you?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you. Getting on here. Getting ready to talk a little soccer with our first professional soccer player in here, Santa Barbara local. It's exciting to get you on here, talk a little bit about your career, what you're doing, your past a bit from high school to college, just trying to get some insight on what it is to be a pro player, you know?
All right, right on. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate so. Let's start it off with obviously you're a Santa Barbara local, right?
Yeah, born and raised.
Nice. Did you play club soccer growing up?
Yeah, so I started with Santa Barbara Soccer Club.
Okay.
At about probably 10. Before that, I did just like AYSO, Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah.
That type of stuff. And then, yeah, moved on from there pretty much.
And so did you play high school ball right here?
Yeah, I played 1 year of high school. And then I moved on to academy. There's a few local players. And we had a good carpool going. We go to Real SoCal.
Oh, Real SoCal.
And they're playing the...
It was like Thousand Oaks, right?
Yeah, Thousand Oaks. So it's like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But usually like an hour, like to get there is like about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So all the traffic, especially even Santa Barbara.
So academy, once you're in academy, you can't play high school, right? It's either one or the other.
So like the season will run through the winter when the high school boys play. And high school soccer is like, you play like 2-3 games a week usually, you know? So yeah, if you play academy, you don't play high school.
And for academy, was it... just weekend games, like tournaments, or?
Yeah, it was set up like a proper league. Oh,
yeah.
So it was actually, I had a really good experience with Real SoCal. Yeah.
So, would you recommend, like, for our goal with our brand is trying to get, like, exposed kids, you know, to play at a higher level. So you experiencing that, would you recommend playing at that, like for academies or going straight like high school, or is it just like options?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say because I don't know, everyone's different, but I don't know, if you really think about it, academy is where most of the talent is.
Higher level.
Yeah, but like you can still play like local ball and make it professionally.
Not for
so
sure.
It's just, at the end of the day, it's kind of all on you, but... Oh, it's unfortunate Santa Barbara doesn't have an academy.
Yeah.
Because we have such a small area to pull players from.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, there's talent here, but I don't know, when you go to LA, it's just they're drawing from like millions of people. While here, it's like...
And Real SoCal is like one of the like highly regarded academies, right? If I'm in SoCal.
Yeah, it was like back in the day for sure. But nowadays, kind it's like off. These MLS teams are like, they're pumping a lot of money into their team. So like, if you can get on LAFC or Galaxy... Mm.
Like, just better.
That's much better than Real SoCal.
Yeah. And so after academy, did you get UCSB, right? For college?
Yeah, I played at UCSB.
Were you being recruited like throughout? How early did that recruiting process start?
Well, when I was 12, 13, junior high, I made the ODP, which was like... So I kind of came in right when academy started. So before... Like ODP was it. If you're playing ODP, that's like where that's how you get recruited.
Oh, okay.
And so when I was like 12, 13, academy wasn't, it might have just been starting. So yeah, I made the Cal South team because it's like separated Cal South, Cal North. I made that team like 2 or 3 years before I joined academy. And I don't know, after I played ODP and got a lot of, I don't know, you have a lot of access to scouts. Yeah. Like you play
like
those games. Yeah. Like you'll play other states and there'll be like
smacked.
Like like dozens of coaches watching, college coaches. Good. So probably from like 13, 12, I was getting like recruited. So
was UCSB like the only D1 school, or is there more options you had?
Yeah, actually I had quite a few options. Mm-hmm. I actually originally was going to play at Cal Poly, and the coach left.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, coach, they had Paul Hawker, who was, I really liked him. And then something crazy happened where, like, he violated NCAA rules, or it was unfortunate, you know, because he was a really good coach.
Yeah, that's kind of the reason we wanted to go there.
Yeah, so then I just ended up going to UCSB instead. So It was fine. You know? Yeah.
Like kind of like, I mean, it's UCSB has obviously always been like a soccer powerhouse, D1 soccer, nationally recognized. And you being from Santa Barbara, was that kind of like just like ideal to kind of work out in a way?
Well, like initially I wasn't like, I was never like excited to play at UCSB kind of growing up. Uh-huh. I like it. But watching UCSB, like when I was a little kid,
yeah,
I was like, oh, dang, that's probably why I played soccer to begin with, just because I thought those games were cool. I would go with my friends. Yeah. We're like little kids would run around, have a fun time. I was like, oh, it'd be cool to play for them one day.
Yeah, for sure.
But I was always kind of like, and then everyone would be like, oh, you know how hard it is, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then as I got older, I started to see really how it was. And I don't know, I wouldn't necessarily say I was like excited, really excited to play there, but it was a good option. Like you're saying, it's a good college team. For sure.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, obviously, like I said, it's a powerhouse, and just like local kids from Santa Barbara, I feel like you say, they watch the games at UCSB, Harder Stadium, just like that environment. It's crazy. It's insane. Like those big games. So I feel like a lot of kids just like are attracted to that, you know? So it's kind of.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, hopefully one day Santa Barbara could have a professional team.
Yeah, that'd be at least
cool. At some level, like, you know, at least in whatever, third division, second division,
probably, I mean, not MLS, but they started the UPSL team here. So that's a kind of a start, you know. Santa Barbara is like, I was telling Anthony, like, they have so much local talent here, like they could easily like pull some type of competitive team, you know.
I'm sure. Santa Barbara, it's like everybody wants to come to Santa Barbara, so yeah, I think you could attract like if Santa Barbara had like a third division team, like a USL League One.
Yeah.
I think you can attract, like,
for sure. Yeah.
Like, foreign players. Like, you probably get some big timers in Europe who just want to retire in Santa Barbara, play here.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, live their life, settle down.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of, like, Westmont, Santa Barbara City College,
the whole 805, you got a lot of good players.
Oxnard has a bunch of talent, for sure. So you high school academy, Real SoCal, UCSB next. So playing in college in UCSB, did you always know that becoming a pro was a goal for you, or were you just kind of going through the process at the time?
Yeah, well, when I was 18, so I was like right after high school, kind of like right before I went to UCSB. I went to Germany on a trial.
Oh, okay.
And with a team.
What team was it?
Eintracht Frankfurt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're big. They're big now. They're like,
they're a big team, yeah, for sure.
They're like Europa League type level team now. But
solid team.
When I went on trial there, it was, they're more like a middle of the pack Bundesliga team.
Yeah, yeah. Mid-table.
And I was 18 and like never had much experience. Like never played college, never played pro.
Yeah.
So I thought I was going to be with the second team.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was going to be a trial with the second team, but they scratched their U23 program. So they had like first team U18s or U19s. Yeah, it was 19s. So I get there and I remember the first day I'm training with the U19s and they were popping it really nice, you know, and stuff. But I was just doing my thing and playing really hard. And I remember I was like really getting on these guys. I like pretty much, like, I remember the last day of training. I don't know if I injured him, but I kind of I kind of cracked him a little bit. And then like right after that though, the session stopped.
Uh-huh.
And then the coach in like broken English was like, hey, tomorrow you train with top team. And I'm like, I thought he was joking because I thought I was going to play the second team. Yeah. I still thought there was a second team. I didn't even know that they didn't have a second team.
Oh, so that was crazy.
So when I got there and I was playing with the first team for like the first 2-3 sessions, I legit thought I was a second team. They were good, but like, of course, when you're a kid and you're like, oh, Bundesliga players, like, oh, wow, they're going to be like Superman.
Yeah.
But then you realize, especially like, oh,
Germans,
yeah.
That's how they play.
Yeah,
build,
like, well,
they
got two legs, they got a brain, two hands, just like you and I.
Yeah.
So after that, I was like, all right, I think if I keep working hard, improve, I can see myself playing professionally.
Dope, yeah. So how did that, that's cool. I didn't know you got that opportunity early. How did that come about? Just.
I think I was playing academy.
Oh,
and then just some guy was just
recruits.
Yeah, just kind of a random connection.
Nice.
Yeah.
Intrigue. That must have been a cool experience. So eight. You how long did you stay over there in Germany?
It was like they didn't sign me. So But it wasn't like an unsuccessful tryout because they're the first team coach recommended me to the U23 national team coach.
Oh, okay.
So then I got called in to three different camps with the U23 national team.
Oh, dope.
And this was all before college.
Oh, dope.
So at this point, it was almost like...
So you were 18 playing with the U23s?
Yeah, but to be honest, like, I don't know, like, at that point, like, technically, I wasn't necessarily at the level, but physically and mentally, I thought I was there, not technically, like, I still had a lot to learn.
Yeah, that's what I feel like a lot of people about, like, soccer don't understand is, and I was telling Anthony, too, it's a real, like, a technical sport, you know? You could be, I mean, it's not all about, like, athleticism. I feel like a lot of people think it's just running around chasing the ball, but more of a, you got to be smart and, you know? I don't know how you feel. Like you said, there's like a level where you could be mentally there and physically there, but like, you know, you got to understand the tactics and stuff too.
Yeah. You could be like most athletic guy in the world, but if you don't have a touch, you don't know what to do.
Technical ability.
Yeah. And then you don't know how to read the game. Mm-hmm. Like there's players who are like 5'5", like, you know, of course, like Iniesta is like, below average athlete.
You look at him, you're like, oh,
yeah, like I bet you, like in PE. Yeah, I bet you if he went, like when he was a kid in like PE, he's probably like just finishing middle of the pack and everything.
Nah, for sure. Yeah.
And he's like one of the best players in the world. Exactly. So it's, of course, you know, if you have physical attributes, that helps. But yeah. I don't know. There is like a technical and tactical prerequisite to play at certain levels.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I agree. That's crazy. All that was before you even got to college. So how was your time actually playing for the Gauchos? How was that experience?
Well, honestly, it wasn't a good experience because I get there and I was injured before my freshman year. And I was playing on injury.
Yeah.
And you know how college works? It's like a game every two games.
Compacted together, yeah.
Yeah, I remember my body wasn't really maintained well my freshman year. Mm-hmm. But we had a good season. I think it's Sweet 16s.
Your freshman year?
Yeah, and I was playing all over, too. I played a lot of positions my freshman year. It was good. Like, I got a place. I normally play center back.
But I was playing, like, center back?
Yeah, it was almost at a certain point of the year. I was, like, playing everywhere but center back. So it was kind of strange in that regard.
Versatility is always good.
Yeah, I guess I held versatility. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But, and then my second year, I got in trouble and like UCSB was a wrap during my sophomore year. So honestly, it wasn't the best experience, but it was definitely a good learning experience. But for soccer, like, I wouldn't necessarily say it helped me progress or anything, but in life, I definitely learned a lot of lessons.
So after those 2 years, what was after that? How'd you get?
So after that, I pretty much didn't have a team because I was off the UCSB team and I was playing kind of like Sunday League, PDL. And I was like, we're really working hard. I was going to combines. I was doing well at all the combines. I did like Galaxy. I got a trial with Galaxy through the open trials, but they didn't really give me a shot. You know, like they're like, oh, open trial guy. I was there for like 3 days, like with the actual, like this, it was a trial of the second team. Mm-hmm. That didn't work out. Then, just playing PDL with Ventura Fusion. I got a call into Sac Republic.
Oh, nice.
And I was there for a few months. And they wanted to sign me, but it was like not the best, like very little money.
Yeah.
Looking back, I regret not taking it because it just would have been a learning experience. You know, I shouldn't have been thinking like, oh.
How old were you then?
I was like 20.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So I was like, all right. So, like, that was a good time to get into the professional game. I was ready. You know, like at 20, like. Center back, young, ready.
And were they just in the USL? Or?
Yeah, they were in the USL. So that was 2017. That was also back in the NESL days, too.
That's a pretty good
it's a good club, like, level, for sure. Yeah, so, like, I was training, doing well. And then I got a scholarship to play at Coastal Carolina University.
Okay.
Which is actually a really good college soccer program.
Oh, okay.
It's probably... That year, we made the Sweet 16s, too. So, I made the Sweet 16s twice in college. But at Coastal, I was kind of just, like, thinking of, like, look, if I have a really, really good season and kill it, maybe I can get drafted in MLS. Mm-hmm. If not, I'm going to stop playing college soccer. I was like, because...
So, that was kind of, like, your last...
Yeah, because I turned 21 while I was at Coastal.
Yeah.
And I remember just, like, just walking around, just being like, wow, like... time's really gone by. Like, I'm 21. I'm still not a professional. Like, I was doing the classes, but like I was told I was going to do business.
Yeah.
I get there, like, I don't have enough credit, so I have to do interdisciplinary studies. Mm-hmm. So I was like, man, why am I even here? You know, like, and then, so pretty much right of the season, I just came home, and then, like the GM of Sac Republic, like, and the coach, like, they sacked like the whole, like staff.
Oh, wow.
So I thought I was going to play at Sac Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy, the GM, became an agent, and then he represented me.
Oh, okay.
And then his son became the coach at Fresno.
Oh.
So, and that was was the first year of Fresno Foxes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So it was like same level as Sac Republic.
USL, yeah, yeah.
USL.
They just got like two seasons ago?
Yeah. Fresno? So, so those were my first 2 years playing. That was 2018,
2019.
All right. Those were the only 2 years of that club's existence.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but they're coming back.
Oh, really? So, they
are coming back, but they're going to play the third level instead of the second level. But still, like, better have a team than not.
For sure.
But yeah, I played 2018, 2019, the only 2 years of existence. And
so that was with Fresno, that was your first year as like a established, like, professional soccer, if you would. Professional soccer player.
Yeah, that was my first year. It was like, I guess, like what you say, they call a professional player.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a great experience, you know? Yeah, sure. Great experience for sure.
Did you, did you get a lot of playing time that year, or how would you
reflect
on that year?
Like, I just got a little unlucky. Like, the first year I get there, there's like six center backs, you know? Sure. And I'm just like, oh man, of course I'm like
a lot of competition.
I'm the youngest guy, like, no professional experience. Everyone else has like, I don't know, there's guys with like 100+ games, you know? There's like Mickey Daly, you know, this guy Beto Navarro.
Veterans.
Yeah, Ramon Del Campo.
Yeah.
Like, these dudes all had like 100 professional games already.
Yeah.
And then I get there and it's like, yeah, and they signed a crazy amount because they also had an affiliation with the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Mm.
So they bring two boys down there. And of course, they play in front of me. Like, I played a few games, but I didn't necessarily consistently play.
Yeah.
And then, but the first year, to be honest, like, I was for sure like a reckless player, you know, like in college, like
still kind of learning.
Yeah, I had to learn how to play the game properly because, like, when I was playing college, like,
it's a whole different
level. Yeah, it's like I was just like, I wouldn't necessarily say I had anybody like took me aside and was like, hey, look, like, in this situation, you gotta do this.
Yeah, yeah.
It was more so like I was just like, oh, I'm gonna be a beast, like, whatever. And that's like the worst. That's actually like the worst way to play that position. Like,
yeah, for sure.
It's more so a position where, like, you want to be like calm, a leader, ball, yeah. And of course, when it's time to step in and make a big challenge and make a tackle, you do it. But I don't know. I was like literally just looking for the tackle, like, So the first year was a lot of learning lessons, and definitely very grateful for it, though. It was a great experience.
For sure. And then, so that's, you're 21 at this point, you said?
Yeah, I was like 21, 22, and then I played.
What was that?
So I'm a 96, so that was 18, 19. So that was a year I turned 22 and the year I turned 23. But so it's like this year I turned 24, but majority of the season I was 23. So it's like,
yeah,
I was like 22, 23, you know, in Fresno. So
after Fresno, it's where you're at now, if I'm correct? Or was there another stop?
Where I was this past season, yeah. So after Fresno, the team dispatched.
Oh, okay.
And then I got the opportunity to play at Hartford Athletic, which same league, second division.
USL.
Yeah, it was good. This past year was good. It was 23, 24 type age. Like,
solid.
I finally got my foot in the door to play consistently. Yeah, so that was good.
So you, how would you reflect on this last year with them? Is it a fairly new team, or how they been?
They came into the league 2019.
Oh, okay.
So right now with like U.S. soccer, it's so new. There's so many places who want clubs. Yeah, like clubs pop up.
It's crazy. It's expanding crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's like teams coming in every year now.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's pretty cool to see, though, because it's like, it's dope to see like that the game's actually growing in the U.S. You know, it's cool to see.
Yeah, so, for sure. So
I think that helps a lot. Just getting players more looks. You know, there's so much talent, like D1 programs who don't get. I mean, the draft is such a small number that they get chances. So
I feel
like there's so much other players who get looked at through that way now.
Yeah, honestly, that's the way now. Like, the game's changed, you know, like college soccer, like Soccer scene is a waste of time almost, at least at the professional level, like the coaches, it's a waste.
Yeah, that's what my next question was. So like, obviously, like I told you, we want to like expose as much like players just to get them a route, like to play next level.
Yeah.
So like now that you experience all that going through like the academy system, the high school system, the college system to now being pro, what would you recommend to like high school players who are like 16, 17? Look, who have that goal that set that they want to play professionally, what would you say is like not the ideal way, but like what would you recommend for them, you know?
Well, I'd probably recommend like if you're a talented player, they can get in with an academy. Mm-hmm. That's the way to do it, you know, academy if you system. Can get in with even just in that league, and who knows, like when I was playing academy, it was more so like you're playing academy to get recruited to college. Mm-hmm. And there were a few boys getting signed homegrown. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong, but yeah. It wasn't like how it is nowadays where it's like when I was playing, like even that was only like what, like
a couple five, years ago.
6 years yeah. ago, not that long. Like
it's changed so much. Yeah,
a lot of guys would like not even take the homegrown contract and go play college.
Yeah, yeah.
So, because they're like, crazy. Oh, like I'm homegrown. I won't play for a few years. I might as well play college.
There's
and
kind
play.
Of few like pros right now, like in Seattle. I know like Christian Roldan from Seattle. Mm-hmm. A bunch of those were like playing Washington, like they're homegrown to like Seattle, but they chose to go to like Washington for a bit, which is weird, you know? Now, yeah, I feel like nowadays they'd just rather go pro at 17, 18.
Yeah, the thing is now it's like, you I don't know, like, it's kind of frowned upon mm-hmm. to play to, because if you play college and then you're 23.
Yeah, it's kind
of like, yeah, you play some games in college, but like you look at like around the world, like players in Mexico, exactly. when they're 23, yeah. they got like, some guys got 100 yeah. games, some guys got 50, some guys got 20. But,
yeah, that's what
you
I
know,
feel like.
But it's better than zero, you know?
That's what I feel like the game's kind of still behind in the US is that, like you said, in other countries, even not just Mexico, but kids are getting started since like 13, 14. Yeah, so they're in, like you said, they're in academies since of 13, 14. So by the time they're like 17, they're already debuting with the first teams, you know? And here they haven't even played D1 soccer. And then, like you say, they still got to go through 4 years through there. And it's just levels, you know, obviously it's a higher level.
But if you're from Santa Barbara and you don't get an opportunity to play in an academy, or you don't get an opportunity to play professionally when you're 18, 19, mm-hmm. you have to play college to some, you know?
Yeah.
And then
it's like
you can still play professionally after college, but
for sure, yeah.
Like if you have a lot of talent and you're young mm-hmm. and you can get into a professional environment, even if it's not MLS team, even if it's in the third division.
Yeah. Just as long as you
like,
get that.
Yeah, you're playing with grown men, you're getting exposure
to that level.
Yeah, it's a high, like, because college is not, you're not even playing with grown men. Nah, it's like 18 it's like to 23.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's the next, it's seen as like the next step to pro mm-hmm. in America, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just, you like, the quicker you get playing with grown men in a professional environiment, the better.
So
for
So you'd recommend like getting to that level as soon as possible?
Yeah. So if you're really, but the thing is like, because there's no academy or professional team here.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
You gotta travel to
and then,
1,000 miles, like an hour away.
Yeah, of course. And that's not even, you have no pathway to the first team.
Hmm.
But I don't know. I think nowadays though, there's like when I played academy, there was like maybe two clubs. I think it was Dallas and Real Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And those teams would house players. Like they would recruit like kind of the regionally.
Uh-huh.
And if the players and parents at that age, because you need your parents involved too when you're like 15, 16.
Yeah.
They're willing to you stay at a dorm and you pretty much live the life of a full-time player.
For sure.
But you do your school.
That's cool. Yeah.
But nowadays it's like every MLS team's doing that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's really grown just like, so I think nowadays it's probably easier to get into that whole, you know.
Next level.
But it's, I don't know. Also, it's like those teams, like they have their own players already. Like just getting in is tough, you know? So
yeah, I feel like kids are hesitant a lot too, because like if you're playing D1, you're also, if you don't make it pro, at least you get your education, you know, you get your degree. So I feel like kids are kind of hesitant, like to say, oh, if I go at 20, like 19, 20, what if I don't make it, you know, what am I going to fall back on? You know? So I feel like that has a lot to do with it, but But I agree with you completely. I think like the sooner kids could get to that level, it's better for sure.
Yeah, and touching on that subject, like you have to understand, like when you go to college, you should go to college to learn something.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Like you should walk out of college and you're like, all right, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Or at least have like some idea.
Yeah.
So if you want to be a soccer player, like if you want to get the, like, yeah, you want to get like the apprenticeship or whatnot to really learn the trade.
Yeah.
It's not by playing college. It's by, you know what I mean? It's by playing in a professional environment.
Yeah.
Like friends in Mexico, like the players 18 to 23. Mm-hmm. Obviously there's superstars everywhere who get in at 18, 19, they're playing with the first team. Mm-hmm. Majority of them, they're just playing second team games, but I don't know. They're learning. Yeah, they're playing consistently. They're playing at a high level. Good facilities.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
Mexico for sure has some of like the best.
Well, yeah, that's just an example. That's like any country though. Like U.S. is the only country who does the whole college system.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is that I heard with COVID they didn't even play the season, at least in California. Nah, so it's like imagine.
I don't even have they like in other states. You know, the D1s are playing.
Yeah, I believe other states are, but. I know for because I know guys that play UCSB right now and no nothing. Season, so it's like
not even like training.
Yeah,
or anything
so
or?
Like 20, yeah, exactly. So like 2019, you played
from it's like a whole wasted year.
Yeah, you played from August to November.
And it's the thing; it's like the college gets a lot of lack of. It's that it's not that long of a season. So
yeah, it's crazy.
And now with like even with COVID, it's like you know they should be playing at least like a full calendar year. And the season's how long in college? Like, couple months.
Yeah, right? It's like 3 months, but yeah, you see, play like 20 crazy. Games in 3 months.
Yeah,
so it's like the other 9 months, like what are you doing? Like yeah. are you obviously you can still improve, like you can train,
yeah,
on you but, can but that you can only do so much with that
a lot for the like for touch base on that for like kids who in off season for college what did you do at a PD like obviously you mentioned Fusion do a lot of kids do that or is it more just training on their own?
Yeah you can play PDO. Mm-hmm. Pretty much that's it.
Yeah,
like you can play college and PDO and then not everyone can play PDO. Mm-hmm. Like they only take so many college guys, you know.
Yeah,
like they'll have older guys play and but yeah pretty much like yeah I play with Fusion and then
how was that?
Maybe a few Sunday league games, whatever, and then train.
Just trying to stay active.
Yeah, playing. Try to find games.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate you have to try to find games when it's not season for college because they try to restrict you. It's crazy. Like,
yeah.
It's like you're in like, it feels very bureaucratic.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I was at Coastal, my third year playing college soccer, mm-hmm. we had a day where we didn't train. Mm-hmm. We had like NCAA rule meetings. And I remember thinking to myself, I was like, oh my God, like, what am I doing with my time right now? Yeah. Like, we're not even training today. Like, we're all here together and we're supposed to be soccer players who are trying to play professionally.
Like, slow and you're just
and we're like,
restricted.
We're all like the people who work for that leg department. We're in that building mm-hmm. getting lectured about, like, oh, you can't post, like, you can't promote a restaurant or a bar. It's like, come on, like, yeah, oh my NCAA, God, what is this?
Like, NCAA is like, yeah, I feel like they have so much restrictions on their athletes. It's crazy. Like, especially in, soccer is growing, but like basketball, for example, like there's kids making those schools like millions of dollars and for them to like not get, that's another, like a whole different topic. But I feel like soccer is kind of, since it's growing so much, I feel like that's kind of in the way it's going to, you know? I feel like kids deserve to get a piece of that for sure.
Yeah, hopefully they'll pay the athletes for sure. So yeah. like maybe if you play UCSB, you can make some money, but why? Like if you can play professionally, like quick nowadays, it's like why would you even consider playing college?
Yeah,
but like back in the day, it was the money wasn't as good, yeah. It wasn't as established. There wasn't three leagues. There's two leagues. Mm-hmm. It was just just nowadays it's really grown. So that's good
for sure. So for the people who don't know, right now is that like the soccer pyramid in the U.S. for what you would say it's MLS, then USL, and you said there's another USL.
Yeah, there's a USL Championship, which is the second level.
Okay.
And then the USL League One.
Oh, okay.
That's the third level, and that's more so where you'll see like the MLS reserves. Mm. But you do have you have teams like Tucson, like
yeah
yeah yeah.
So competitive.
Yeah, it's good. Like, I don't know, like if you get signed by one of those teams, you're a full-time player. Like they'll pay you, they'll house you. All you got to worry about is
just playing,
going to practice and going to games and play and work hard. That's it.
Yeah.
It's very simple, you know? So
yeah, that's pretty cool to see like that. That teams really, I know of a few like USL players and like they for sure tell me like they get taken care of pretty good.
Yeah, like I'll say if you don't play in MLS, like if you're playing lower levels professionally, it's like any other sport, if you're playing the lower levels, like you're not like a millionaire, mm-hmm. but
you're living good,
like it's a good lifestyle,
you love, you know?
It's like it's a more moderate lifestyle, you know? Yeah. You can't like be taking trips to Ibiza or whatever, like, and come right, you know, but you can enjoy yourself, like, I don't know, like, if you get your, like, most teams, especially at lower levels, they'll house you, pay for utilities, mm-hmm. and then once you have that taken care of, like, the money on top is just,
it's all for you.
Like, what, you only need, what, food, car payments, like, it's all right, you know?
Yeah, I definitely feel like that's the way I feel, in my opinion. I think like pretty soon, like maybe like in the next 10 years, a lot of players are actually not going to be going D1, to be honest with you. I feel like it's going to be the new route. It's like these USL, these new up and coming leagues. Like I don't know, the NISA league, NISA, that's also like, it's like lower level, but they're still taking care of their players pretty well from what I heard.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. NISA League, one of the NISA teams is now in the second of the USL Championship. So
they just like go up.
Yeah, I think like those are kind of just teams they'll probably eventually just conform, I guess, to the third division or second division or whatever. But what I would advise something like a young man who's trying to be a professional soccer player, is like, you don't really go to college to learn to play soccer.
Yeah.
Like there's so many other things. Like you go, I don't know, but if you're also like a player who's, you're like, maybe I'm good enough, maybe I'm not, I want something to fall back on.
Yeah.
You can, all right, maybe that's a route for you.
Yeah.
But if you're just like me, like I went to college and was like, just trying to be a soccer player.
Okay.
Like so. I did school and everything.
But
I
your goal was always...
Yeah, but I wasn't, that wasn't my main priority. Yeah. Like if soccer's your main priority, do what you can to get in the professional environment as soon as possible.
Yeah.
But that's also easier said than done too.
Yeah,
so
for sure. So now that we've talked a bit about that coming through the system, if you would, through the soccer system. Obviously it takes a lot to be a professional soccer player. Like you said, it's a full-time job, so you gotta be fully committed. What's your like your training mindset? And like, what do you do? What's your like training plan? Is it, do you train like every day? Is it like just ball? Do you also do like physical stuff like weights?
Yeah. Well, I'll say right now, cause it's a long off season right now. Like what I do now, it's, I don't know. I try to play at least like multiple times a week, like at least three times a week.
Touching the ball. Stuff.
Yeah, like, but not just touching the ball, kicking the ball against the wall or with the partner. Like, I want to actually play with other people and like actually.
Like games.
Yeah, like even like obviously you're not going to be fighting 11v11, but you're playing like 5v5. So like you're playing, you know, whatever the numbers are.
Yeah.
3v3, 8v8, whatever. Yeah. Just find ways to play.
Stay active.
And then, at least do that. Like for me, like I'm not like a little kid. I can't just play all day, every day, like I used to. So I'll do that like 3 days a week.
Nice.
And then, I'll just work out. I'll touch the ball a little bit here and there on my own too.
Yeah.
Definitely when I was younger, like when I was in college and when I was in Fresno, I was just ball all the time. Cause like I had to work on my touch, you know, my touch was like trunket touch or whatever you guys call it. like not the best touch, you know? So like, and then I had to do that. And then now it's like, all right, like I don't necessarily need to like be that repetitive with that type of training. But so I would say just I train pretty much every day. Like you gotta do something every day. Because I don't know, once you start taking one day off, it just becomes easier and easier. Start taking days off.
Yeah, so, like, at the end of the day you are playing, it is a high level, you know, professional level. So you definitely gotta stay, you know, some type of shape.
Yeah. I remember like this past season, I probably took like, we had a lot of games the last month of my season this year.
Yeah.
Probably had like 6-7 games at least. And then right after that, I took like 2-3 weeks off probably. Just chilled. Like I had a car in Connecticut, so I drove that. That took like a couple days. And I was just hanging out. I don't know. My body was hurting. It was like, I'm going to take some time, give myself a good amount of rest.
Yeah.
And I remember I went back training in Fresno because like all the guys who still play, they get together regularly out there. I remember right away, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I'm glad I'm getting back into this now. Yeah. Because the more time you take off, like, other people are training while you're taking that time off.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's all about, I feel like it's all about like the mindset, the mentality, you know?
Yeah, it's just consistency. It's like, like if you want to be a professional player, like no matter what has happened during that day, you can always find time.
Yeah.
You can always find half an hour to work on your game. That's all it takes. So it's just people will be like, oh, I have homework. Oh, my car's not working. Oh, but you know, and there's so many excuses. Like,
yeah.
But in the day, it's like, no matter what's happening, you gotta train, at least try to train every day.
Like, yeah, that's what I feel like a lot of kids don't understand is that they want to get to that level, but sometimes they're just not willing to take those sacrifices, you know, is what a lot of people who I've spoken to play who are playing at the next level. It's all about sacrifices and wanting it, you know?
Yeah. It's a common theme in sports, you know, it's just the harder you work, like fruits of your labor, you know? Yeah. So you work really hard, you perform better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we're Hartford. That's in Connecticut. That team.
Yeah, Hartford. Yeah, Hartford, Connecticut.
Hartford, Connecticut. Yeah. And is that the US? Is that like how MLS works? Is that like Eastern Conference or Western Conference?
Yeah.
Or?
So USL is like
obviously this year was West. Probably different now because of the COVID and stuff.
Yeah, this year it was regional. So we played like we had a group of five. Top two made playoffs.
Oh.
And we had Philadelphia, Pittsburgh.
The second New York. Team, Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah, we had.
Was pretty
so
good,
our group was kind of was a little easier because we had we had Philly too and the Red Bull too. And generally in the USL, like those are the younger teams, like the MLS reserve teams.
Oh, they get like young.
So yeah, so our team like
smash.
I don't know, we have guys who like been doing this for a long time. They're not just trying to make it, like they have made it or what.
Oh, all
right. So we had Pittsburgh them and then a team in DC area called Loudoun United. So we won our group actually. So it was good. Well, it was a good season for us
for sure. And was playoffs after that? Or?
Yeah, then we made playoffs, but oh man, we lost in the first round, 1-0, like heartbreaking last minute goal. But
who'd you guys face in the first round?
St. Louis.
So it was after the group play, it was teams from each group in the Eastern Conference, or
So I think it was top two teams advanced
from each group.
Yeah, we had a home game too, and definitely Hartford was like one of the worst teams in the league, 2019.
Oh, okay.
In their first year, so this past year was like definitely, I don't know, like the club standard was like, all right, we make the playoffs, success.
Yeah.
So we made the playoffs. We won a group.
So you guys weren't expecting to get that or
well the previous year. They were horrible. Like they were like the worst team in the whole Eastern Conference. And then this year, like they're, I don't know. Of course, like when I came in there, I was like, all right, playoffs, like we should at least make that, you know? Cause
I mean, that's a cool thing about soccer is like every game's, you know, just open, you know, every game's different. So
exactly. We had a whole new team. They only kept maybe like three guys from the season before. So it was like a brand new team.
A whole revamp.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. And so how obviously you guys weren't expecting to make playoffs. So as a team, you guys did pretty good. How would you feel? How would you assess like that year as a player? Did you feel like you learned a lot, grew a lot as a player? Or?
Yeah. So it was a good year because my coach was just a total beast, man. Yeah. Like, this guy was named Raddy Jaidi. I still don't even know
American
if I say it right.
Is what? He American or?
No, he's from Tunisia.
Oh,
but this guy's like, he played in the Premier League.
Oh, wow.
So, and Hartford has a connection with Southampton.
Oh, dope. So, they're doing good this year.
Yeah, I haven't really been following, but.
Like top three right now.
Yeah, so. I've been seeing that they've been winning. But, so it was kind of a cool situation because he was on loan. He's a coach. He was a player at Southampton first. Yeah? Like. Oh, beast, man. Oh, like, this guy's, like, African Cup of Nation champion.
Solid
He's,
player.
Like,
I mean, you're playing captain, the Premier League.
Yeah, I know, but he didn't just play. He didn't just play in the Prem. He was like bossing people in the Prem. Captain.
Yeah.
Hundreds of games. Like, he had a season. He was a center back. Center back. He had a season where he scored like 6-7 goals. You know what I mean? This guy, this dude was just a beast.
Yeah.
Big, imposing. He's like 6'3", 6'4". Like, this dude was like
solid Premier League. Yeah, prototype Premier League player.
So he had the resume. And he was a young coach though, so he was just getting into it.
How old was he? Did you say?
He's probably like mid-40s.
Oh dang!
But he played late. Like, this guy had a great career. Like, he played till he was like late 30s. You know,
Tunisian national team. Everything.
Yeah, like
solid.
He played in 2 World Cups. But not just on the team, but like play
starting
every game. Dope. You know, he's amazing for sure.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of like the coaches have like the staff, they have a lot to do with like player development too. You know, if you have a good solid coach, like you said, and him having played in your position, do you feel like that helped you a lot? Just learning, picking his brain a bit and stuff like that?
Yeah, for sure. So like this guy was intense, you know? So you're always watching, you're watching film every day. Like, you're playing a game, you mess up, you know, you're in his office having a meeting with him, like, rewatching your mistakes. And like, you better learn from that, or else like, he's no nonsense, you know. He didn't mess around. Like, I don't know, we had a really talented player, like, he just let go. He didn't like his attitude.
Oh damn.
So him, it's like, all right, man, you follow his instructions and like you get it done.
Yeah,
you know. But his spirit was amazing, you know. Like, we all felt it. He was the best, not only the best coach, but he was the best leader I've ever seen in my life.
Oh damn.
So I was very fortunate to have him be my coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big gaffer. That's what we call him.
Gaffer, yeah.
You know, but he's actually in the Southampton coaching staff. He was just on loan at Hartford.
Oh.
So like, he's getting groomed probably to be the next Southampton coach. You never know.
That's dope. What'd you say his name was? Like
Raddy Jaidi.
Raddy Jaidi. Damn. That's pretty cool. So he's right now, is he over there, back over there with them? Or?
Yeah. He's back at Southampton. And it was cool because we had that connection. So
that's dope.
We had some players on loan from Southampton, so it was good to, like, that connection they had with, like, Hartford and Southampton is solid, you know?
That's cool, yeah. Is that, like, do you know if, like, other USL teams do that with European teams, or is that just,
yeah,
like,
you're starting to see it. You got Orange County.
Scotland Rangers. Rangers. No? Yeah, I heard of that.
Yeah, yeah. So they
got a couple guys down here, too, no? I think, I'm pretty sure, they had, like 2 or 3 on loan over playing this season over here.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. But
yeah, I heard of that.
I don't know, like, definitely with a team like Rangers or Southampton, when you have the connections in the USL, it's mainly just to get the younger guys out there, or potentially you'll get a really talented youngster at one of these clubs who maybe can be a first team player at one of those teams.
Just getting playing time.
Yeah, there's a few teams, you know. There's a few teams. So
that's cool. I didn't know that. Well, I had heard of Rangers being connected with Orange County, and I was like, oh, damn, that's pretty cool. And then now that you mentioned that. I didn't know they did that. I knew they did that with like MLS teams, with like first, you know, like I know Reno has a connection with San Jose Earthquakes.
Yeah,
but I didn't know some did that with European teams. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was good. So yeah, Hartford this year it was a good year for sure.
Were you starting this a lot this year? Did you get a lot of playing time?
Yeah, so like finally, you know what I mean? Like it was my third year, so I felt like I was ready. And played.
Didn't you get an accolade this year?
Yeah, I won like Club Defender of the Year, which is cool. It's good to win an award, but
solid.
Of course, you want to build up on that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So did you say when we were speaking before this, you said you don't know like you didn't know like future for the next year yet? Still up in there.
Yeah, still up in there. Seeing, you know, I'm sure in January I'll probably know. But
especially
as of right now,
COVID situation.
Yeah, like right now, like nobody knows when the leagues are gonna start. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a strange period in US soccer, just in sports in general.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm hoping, you know, vaccine comes, life gets back to normal.
For sure. Like especially I don't know, but like soccer is a sport with like feel like the fan, it's fan driven, you know, like just having fans understand, like chanting.
Yeah,
it's such a big difference in my opinion. I don't know how you feel about that.
No, I agree. Like definitely, you always want fans and you want to see fans.
Yeah,
but as a player, for sure, like I don't really like fans, no fans, doesn't matter. I don't think it affects like players much. It's more so just
when you're in the zone.
It's just good for the fans, you know. Like the fans want to see, like if Santa Barbara had a professional team, I'd want to see like almost as many games as I could, you know. You know, I'd want to be there because obviously soccer, you want to watch it live, not for on TV. Sure.
It's a way better experience.
Yeah,
for sure. And that's cool. So, what's like the how was it? Well, obviously this year was probably different, like with the like traveling situation. I feel like, were you guys like in just one location, or were you guys traveling too?
No, we were traveling, but we pretty much just played the teams in our group, and then we played Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. That was the only team we played outside, but that's kind of just what the league did just to get games going. Yeah. So they wanted to restrict the travel and just kind of make it more regional. But Hartford, we had a few fans. We had 30% capacity.
Oh, for real?
The rest of the teams had no fans.
Yeah.
So we were for sure blessed just to have a few fans there.
Yeah, just have a few of these, yeah. And lastly, the one I had is, what do you have planned for like the future in soccer? Where do you see, do you have any, like any goals? Do you feel like you could play at a higher level, even like MLS, something else?
Yeah, for sure. That's my goal. Mm-hmm. Of course, to play at a higher level. Not necessarily MLS, but just a better league.
Better league anywhere.
Just continue to enjoy it, you know? And yeah, I love it. You know, I love to play. It's a great lifestyle and everything. So hopefully, yeah, of course, everyone wants success for themselves. Yeah. So me included.
Yeah. And that's it. I'm pretty much like questions I had about you. Just maybe like on some other, do you have like any, are you like a big, so like obviously you're a professional soccer player, but are you a big fan? Like outside, do you like spend your time watching like the leagues, like Champions League, Premier League stuff?
I follow Champions League. Mm-hmm. I follow Champions League for even CONCACAF too. I see any Champions League game on or Copa Libertadores, are like usually my favorite games to watch.
Yeah, because Libertadores are fucking.
Yeah, those games are the very best. Yeah, those are the very best teams in those countries. So,
yeah, I'd say like other than Champions League, the Libertadores for sure. That's a fun tournament.
Like probably the second best. Actually, I don't know. Europa League's big too now.
Yeah, a lot of people give slack to the Europa League, you know, saying that it's. But I actually like it. I like watching the Europa League.
Those you'll see like big teams like Arsenal, like Tottenham, all those guys. Like I don't know, like they have so many good teams in their country.
Yeah, I don't know why people give it, you know, it's like it's Europa League, it's news fest. I'm like
there's a lot of money in that competition for sure. So. Yeah, it's if you're in it, you want to win it. So.
Yeah, yeah. And then I mean, the winner always gets the ticket to the Champions League.
Yeah,
so, you know,
of course.
If you're not doing that good in your qualifying in your league, that, I mean, that's another ticket, you know.
Yeah, but the last game I watched was LAFC against America.
Yesterday, no, or Saturday. Yeah, I was watching that game too.
Yeah, it was Saturday. Yeah, that was a good game. Dude,
LAFC,
was
fuck.
LAFC's good. Yeah,
they took out. I mean. The MLS, I mean, Mexican League usually dominates the MLS team, so it's pretty cool to see the MLS team actually. They took out León, who had just won the freaking Mexican tournament. They took out Cruz Azul, another powerhouse, and now América, arguably the best.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think
this is crazy.
Yeah, I think the Mexican League and the American League is kind of American League's catching up.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
It's also rate the Mexican League higher.
I say like structurally, the MLS is probably catching up to them for sure, but level like talent level wise, I still feel like MLS is like slightly above them, you know. But
I'll say the domestic players in Mexico are better than domestic players in America. Mm-hmm. But I would say the imports, like the guys that the MLS DPs are bringing in, are like
players.
Yeah, they're bringing in. I don't know. It's a lot of money that they're throwing. So
it's crazy because a lot of like those big names from Mexico are coming down to like the MLS now too. Like this last year, they got a couple big like DPs.
Yeah,
that they signed.
Yeah.
Like Kansas City signed the.
So I'll say nowadays it's pretty comparable. You know, I still give the edge.
Yeah.
To Liga MX, of course, but yeah, it's I don't know. The MLS is stepping it up. You know.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I definitely agree with that. Who do you see? How do you see the final, that Tigres versus LAFC? That's gonna be
a good one. Game. Yeah, I love Tigres. They're like one of my favorite teams. Right? Yeah, Tigres are. Hikinyaksa, he's intense. He's a bully, you know.
He's sick. Yeah, Imagine defending him, bro.
Nah, I had FIFA 2017. That was like my team. It was Tigres. So.
Oh, that's when they were. Oh no, that was pre. That was earlier. I was saying when they got to that Libertadores final versus River Plate. That was a fun team. That was like when Gignac first got there. So
Gignac's the man for sure.
He's sick. So did you see you got a prediction for that one? Or?
I think LAFC are the favorites. The way they're playing,
For sure. And they got a stack. Like talent wise, I don't see that big of a. Oh, I feel like that twist, the red card for that midfielder Tuesta is gonna be a big deal too.
Yeah, actually, really thinking about it, I think Tigres, like, their defense is much better.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think Carlos Vela is like unreal. Oh my god!
Just give him the ball.
Yeah, he's amazing to watch for sure. I think LAC's got the best player, but I think Tigres got the better back line.
Yeah, just overall better.
So it would be. I don't know about overall better. Like, dude, LAC Blessing's very good.
Oh, and I heard
Rossi's very good.
Nah, they're stacked.
Yeah, they're stacked. To be honest, like,
up top, I think they're gonna give. I mean, Theta's, like you said, their back line's really solid. But I feel like that attacking front is nasty.
Yeah, it's nasty. And the midfield's good too. The Canadian guy, he's a robust player.
Yeah, he's got like European teams looking at
him. Yeah, Archuleta is very good. He's suspended.
I like that Blessing guy. He's really solid. I heard, there's like a rumor that Tigres was looking into buying him too.
Oh, I'm surprised he's not bought yet because he's been there for a minute.
He's sick, yeah. And so, like, do you have a favorite like team, if you were like that, you say, oh, that's my club.
No, not really, to be honest. I wish I did. Yeah. You know, I wish.
Nah,
you know?
You don't, bro. Like me, I'm an Arsenal fan.
Sucks, yeah, bro.
Every weekend I'm just
To be honest, like, I watch soccer, but there's so much to follow. It's kind of tough to watch all of it, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There's La Liga. EPL.
So much leagues to follow.
Italy, Germany, Champions League. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah,
like, I only got so much time, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like now, like, Instagram and stuff, it's kind of easier to follow in a way because there's highlights everywhere, you know? You just follow a certain page and you get, like, all these highlights on teams and stuff.
No, but I wish I had a team, though, where I was, like, excited to watch them play every game. I would be like, oh, I can't wait till the game. I try to follow Man U, but like, man, it was just like, oh my God, I can't watch this after a while. It's like, I kept losing. Like, they didn't play that nice like the year I was watching them. And I don't know. I kind of scrapped it.
That's a historic team too right there on Man U. Do you have like a league that you prefer to watch? A certain like in Europe or anywhere really?
It's kind of tough. You know, there's so many good leagues. Yeah.
I feel like it's like styles, though.
Yeah,
like,
just styles, you know. I think, I don't know, I would say probably, obviously, I like to watch the top teams, of course, but I'd probably say that I like La Liga. I like to watch Barca. Messi's amazing, of course, you know. So I like to watch him.
Thank God.
I honestly, like, I wish I watched him more when I was younger because I feel like when I'm older, I'm going to regret not. I don't know, there's going to be one day when he retires, I'm going to be like, man, I could have watched so many more.
That's what I was telling
you. So many more games, yeah.
That's what when Ronaldo, when Juve faced Barca, you know, like the Cristiano Ronaldo, Messi debates, like who's the go and stuff. I'm like, bro, just appreciate like that. These like two freaking legends, you know?
Yeah.
They're getting towards, like Ronaldo's going to be 37 soon. Messi's approaching his, you know, the end of his prime. It's just like.
Wait, how old is Messi now?
He's like 33, I want to say.
Yeah, I don't know what he's taking because he's been playing he's been like 16. Like
he's one of those
so
like,
many games. Like
he's one of those crazy players though who I feel like are gonna you know Totti how he played really late. I feel like he's one of those who just like he's gonna play far into his career just because like of his style. You know, just put him in the middle, give him the ball. He doesn't even have to run.
Yeah, he doesn't have to run.
Yeah,
give him the ball.
And like if you think about it too, Ronaldo's changed his style too, where he's just like number nine now, just headering it, like, you know.
Lethal. That's his thing now. He's like he's a lethal goal scorer.
He's a killer.
Messi's like he hasn't really changed, you know. He's still, I don't know. He's amazing. He'll just pick up the ball and weave through three guys and hit like the most amazing pass ever. Yeah. You know, he does that every even on his worst games. You'll be like, wow, that was he has some amazing moments.
A horrible game, then just do something out of.
Like, you know? He'll always have great moments in a game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for sure, like, Messi could play till he's 50. Like,
for sure. He's
literally just, who knows if he just needs to just give him the ball and he'll make it happen.
It's crazy. No, do you like Zlatan?
Oh, yeah, I love Zlatan. Yeah,
it's crazy. He's cool. 39 and he's still freaking balling at that level, you know, scoring.
Yeah,
he's basically carrying AC Milan right now.
Yeah, I think nowadays, like, the knowledge of, like, how to, I don't know how to manage your body.
Yeah.
It's just like,
oh, he's on.
You're going to see, like, I think people are just, they're just lasting longer.
And they're getting, well, I mean, I feel like, it's getting physical therapy is just like the new things that are coming out, you know, is like just crazy, how to take care of your body is like, it's going to see players like playing longer if they invest that time, you know.
You'll go to clubs now and you'll see like recovery boots, ice bath,
the cryo stuff.
Yeah. Cryotherapy. In Hartford, we had a good cryo connection.
Oh, nice.
It was like right across the street from the stadium. We could use it anytime we wanted.
Like those massage guns that are getting now.
Yeah, like it's crazy, I got a massage gun. I got a hefty, like a loud one. Yeah. I love that thing. But
I feel like that has a lot to do with how players are playing so late into careers now.
Also, the culture, though, like the culture back in the day, it was more like it's like a drinking culture. Nowadays, it's like
just
ultra focus. Professionalism. Yeah. You know, like you can't even mess around.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it's seen.
Drink up after a big.
Yeah, that was like you talk to guys in the 70s and 80s and they'll talk about like, oh yeah, like the lads, like it was amazing. Like they wouldn't even talk about soccer. They would be like, oh, the locker room, the nights after the games. That's what they
like, the party lifestyle.
Yeah, that's how it was. But now it's like, oh man, it's just getting crazy and crazy. And you're seeing these kids coming up. Like I'm seeing, because I'm 24 now, and I'm seeing like the 18, 19 year olds come through, and it's
crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, different, you know? Like, their mentality is just...
Why do you feel like that's changed? Why do you think that, like, culture has...
Things just progress.
Yeah.
Like you watch the top teams in the 70s, you watch them now, it's like, wow, like... I don't know. Like, you just look at the physicality, the game, the fitness, the technical abilities. It's just grown.
Yeah, I feel like kids, like at such a young age, they're just so much like more physically advanced. It's crazy. Like,
you're seeing like little kids like with that, like ridiculous skills.
That
I'm just like, wow.
That Davies kid from Bayern.
Oh, he's amazing.
He debuted at like 16 years old with Vancouver, just like taking guys on like crazy. And then he's like, he's what, 19, 20 right now? He just had like that last year where he just like balled.
I think he's like a 2000 or 2001. He's super young. So, but yeah, that guy is just... crazy pace, like ridiculous. Like I saw him play live one time. I saw him play live against LAFC.
Oh really?
And this was like right before Bayern signed him. So he was amazing. Like he would win the ball in like his defensive third.
Yeah.
And I don't know, he was really young. This was like 2018, so he's probably literally 18.
Yeah.
And he, like, when he didn't know what to do with the ball, like he didn't know where to pass it, he would just run and just run by everybody. Like nobody could stop him. Like he had one play where he won it, like literally right on the end line in his defensive end line. Yeah. Takes it, wins a penalty on the other end. And I was just watching this like
that.
I've never seen somebody just run by players like this. It's crazy.
Then that goal that he like created versus Barca last year in the Champions League. Did you see that one where
he skinned that guy, right?
And Semedo, he just freaking played Kimmich in that. I was like, dude, this guy's 19, bro.
He's already FIFA 11, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was named into FIFA
11.
Yeah,
he's a future. I think Canada's going to be a force to be reckoned with because
they got Kaya too. And then that forward from, he's in Lille right now, David.
Yeah, he's young too. He's like probably 20, 21 or 19, whatever. He's crazy. A youngster.
Canada's got some.
Yeah,
some
Canada's got, they're up and coming, man.
That CONCACAF's going to get good.
Yeah, Davies is scary. Like, I think, because he plays
left back, right?
He plays left back at Bayern.
I feel like with Canada, they're gonna like play him as like 10 or something.
No, they do. Like I've seen him. Really? Yeah, they play him like.
I haven't really caught much of. Much
yeah, he's like a winger. He's like a left winger or like a striker almost. It's
more attacking.
Yeah, they just put him with the field.
Mm-hmm.
But on Bayern, he's just amazing.
Like, yeah.
So fast. That's what he is. Crazy speed.
Yeah, like it's for sure. Like this, it's crazy how this generation just like, it's great. I don't know. It's like. I feel like it has a lot to do with just like how kids are taking care of like their bodies more too at such a young age now.
Yeah. And then like you see like kids that have Instagram, social media, they're checking out. You have access to everything now. So you can see how like, you can see how the pros train. You can see like there's guys who just make a living
off training kids.
Off training videos. Yeah. And like they have the best training videos. They don't even play, but they just have like amazing training videos. And the kids can watch that and be like, all right, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna try that.
Sure. Yeah. That's pretty much what I had, you know. Just appreciate you for getting on here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that was our first ever interviewee. Let's talk with someone who's been there, done that. Who knows what this season coming up, but I wish you the best, you know, in this upcoming season and in your future soccer career as well. And again, appreciate you getting on here.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me. Best of luck to you and the Fanta football. Appreciate it. Looks really cool. So keep at that.
Thanks, man. No, yeah. And just for the listeners, thank you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed this interview with Sam. Hopefully we're gonna get on some more pros, some players, you know, coaches who've been there and done that. So thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. Appreciate it. Everyone have a good one.